They'll call you a lot of things. They'll call you greasy and fat and say you eat like shit and, oh, you need a girlfriend and you're not even really white. Okay, well, what the fuck ever. I'm right about everything. So what? Take the information. The information is yours. When there's a perfect Aryan specimen that wants to take the lead, hey, I'll be the first one to sign up in his army. Call him Hitler and give him a mustache, and I'll be right there behind him. But so far, it's me. I'm the one holding down the fort. We all dream of a blonde-haired blue... You got a spiteful mutant. You got the spiteful mutant, okay? You pulled the wrong card. You pulled the Joker. You pulled the spiteful mutant. That's what you got.
They're quite a lot of things. You say you're fat and you're greasy and you need a girlfriend. But I'm waiting for that Aryan specimen to come along. I'll be the first to follow him. But until then, I'm the one holding up the fort. Your dad's not coming. You got yourself me. You got yourself a spiteful mutant. That's what you got.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to address the very interesting development whereby Mr. Nick Fuentes, who of course has been a guest on the Jolly Heretic, has now appeared on the Tucker Carlson Show, one of the most influential shows on the right. And I want to address this because I see this as an important turning point. I see this as an important change whereby something that I literally said in The Past is a Future Country, I literally said what we will see as we shift towards the right, as we see a right-wing backlash and the right essentially taking over again, will be the percolation upwards into positions of power of Nick Fuentes types. That's what we actually wrote in that book. And it's extraordinary. That was 2022 that was published. And it's extraordinary how quickly this is coming to pass. This symbolises the fact that society is polarising and breaking up to such an extent that we no longer fear the left, that we are separating, and that basically there is evidently a right-wing backlash, which will, I think, result in empowerment for the right. Before I look at that, could you do me a favour? Could you please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube? Could you leave a like? Could you leave a comment? Could you hit the bell button? And could you subscribe on my Substack, that's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most base content that I can't put on YouTube, where I put in-person interviews, where I put my vlogs, where I put films that I make, where I put all kinds of stuff. I mean, if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, what's happening? What occurs, and what has been occurring over the last 30 or 40 years, is a process of runaway individualism, whereby society shifts towards left-wing values, and particularly the values of equality and harm avoidance. And it puts those values, those moral foundations, over the group-oriented values of obedience to authority, of in-group loyalty, and of sanctity and holiness and that sort of thing. Now, once this shift occurs, once a certain percentage of the population are of this view and we shift over, then more intelligent people and more Machiavellian and narcissistic and power-hungry people will notice this, and they will competitively signal their interest in equality and harm avoidance. And they will do this such that a whole new morality is created. And it will be of particular interest to basically mentally unstable people, people who are socially anxious, people who fear everything, people who are therefore Machiavellian. They want to control what they see as a dangerous world. And they will cope with this by grabbing hold of whatever is the dominant set of values and uber signalling them in order to reassure themselves that they're not the awful people they think they are deep down, that they are in fact super moral and super brilliant. And they will fear being questioned, and they will fear having that morality questioned, because then that's what makes them something important. That's what allows them to cope. That's their narcissistic false self. And so if you question that, you confront them with what they really are, which can cause them to shatter and fall apart and go mad. So they can't cope with that. So they become extremely aggressive and engage in sort of narcissistic rage and try and crush any kind of dissenter. And so then as this system continues, And as this new morality becomes more and more important in their lives, you end up with a kind of tyranny, of these kinds of mentally unstable people that will vigorously and viciously enforce the new morality. And of course, it's as long as people fear them, as long as this is the way things are shifting, as long as it's understood that they have power, then it will stay like that. And people that don't agree with them, people that feel a sense of dysphoria, people that feel a sense that their group-oriented moral foundations are not met, will shut up, will repress how they feel, will even force themselves via effortful control to believe the new morality, and will come up with cognitive distance, will come up with, you know, will fulfill cognitive distance, and will come up with ways of justifying, I believe in equality and harm avoidance above all, in order not to be persecuted, in order not to be hurt by these people. And so you end up with this tyranny that probably reached its height in about 2020, where dissenters are cancelled, dissenters are thrown off platforms and whatever, and nobody dares express how they feel because of this shrill minority that are dominating things. The problem is, eventually this shrill minority go too far. Eventually it gets to a point where you feel this is just so wrong. The shrill minority is forcing you to mouth slogans and say things with which you know you don't agree and you know are wrong. And they're saying to you, if you disagree in any way, then you are evil and you are vicious and you should be destroyed. And you start to realise two things. One, they could come for you next. The slightest thing, you can't control this. You can't. It's no good just conforming. It's no good just mouthing the slogans. They want more than that. They want evidence of your full participation. So there's no good just conforming. They could come to you next. And when they could come for you next, you've got nothing to lose, and you may as well take the risk of dissenting. But secondly, they persecute and they exclude so many people that you feel excluded. You feel like a fundamental, like a Christian or something in a pagan society. You feel the world is wrong, and you start slowly but surely having the confidence in private to talk to other people, and they exclude all these people and make them feel excluded, and these people gradually start to form underground movements where in order not to go mad, basically, they find people like them who they wouldn't otherwise find. And the internet allows them, of course, to do this. It allows them to find, secretly at first, other people like them, which they wouldn't otherwise feel a need to find because they wouldn't feel so much dysphoria. But once you feel so much dysphoria, you feel a need to find other people like you, or you'll go crazy. So the situation forces people who are basically dissenters to find each other. And once they find each other, they feel a greater sense of confidence. They feel that other people will back them up. They feel that they'll be okay if they dissent. And so then a process occurs whereby more and more people start to dissent. More and more people, and then there is a more and more people feel the confidence to confront these nasty, mentally unstable bullies. And then things start to fall apart. Then suddenly they feel free to say no. We do not share your morality. No, we do not agree with your moral foundations. No, we do not care. We do not believe that the most important thing is whether or not people are offended. We don't care. And they latch on to particular individuals who, for whatever psychological reason, are prepared to take the risk of dissenting even when it seriously damages them. Even when it causes them to be persecuted, even when it wrecks their lives, because just they are that kind of person. They are a contrarian. They are not having this. They maybe are a bit autistic. They like a structure and order and justice and consistency. Or perhaps they're a bit psychopathic and they just quite like tickling up the left and watching them squirm. They quite enjoy it. So you'll get those kinds of people, those trailblazers. And once this process occurs, they will start latching on to people like them and being led by people like them. Nick Fuentes is one such person. So it's quite clear his whole shtick is just not to care. The left say the worst thing you can possibly do is offend people. Never offend people. Always think about harm avoidance. Always think about equality and how people might feel. So Nick Fuentes mocks that. Just mocks it, absolutely mocks it. The left say, the most evil thing ever is World War II or whatever. So Nick Fuentes mocks that. He willfully and happily says and laughs at it, mocks the left. They are so serious and humourless and so forth. So he absolutely mocks them and says, yeah, I'm pro-Hitler, whatever. The left are dogmatically pro-science and anti-religion. So he says, oh, dinosaurs, what a load of rubbish. He doesn't necessarily mean these things. And people on the... his supporters understand that he doesn't necessarily mean these things. He just likes mocking the left. He just likes puncturing their power. He just likes puncturing their pomposity. And he is kind of bravery signalling, I suppose, although it's more than bravery signalling, because it's literal bravery. He has consequences for this, a flight ban, whatever. So he continues doing this, and he's saying, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care what you're going to do. And as I say, as things shift, as more and more people feel excluded, feel that something's wrong with society, and then find other people, subtly at first, of course, but they find other people that are like them, and they're pushed so far that they find other people like them, and they gradually have the bravery to say to other people who they think might agree with them, I'm not sure about this, and then they gradually feel more and more excluded, and they form little sub-societies and sub-communities, and then they feel more confident. As this happens, a shift occurs whereby someone like Nick Fuentes becomes more and more and more acceptable to these people, and it gets pushed to a point where the word racist, which is the big all catch-all word, this manipulative, poorly defined, elastic term, the point of which is to intimidate people and reprove them for deviating even slightly from the supposed path of righteousness, becomes something about which they don't care anymore. They can't help it if they're accused of it. No matter what they do, they'll be accused of it. It's just a weapon that's used by the left, and they realise this, and it loses its power. And eventually you get a tipping point where enough people don't care, and enough people in positions of power realise that things are shifting, or people who are sort of a wannabe elite, an aspirant elite, realise that things are shifting and realise the influence of this person and realise that it can benefit them to be associated as an optimum relationship between being brave and playing for status via being brave and taking the risk of being associated with this person and what might happen if they do this in terms of mainstream acceptance. And they realise that the risk-reward ratio is good enough that they can go for it. They can go for it, and they can, in the words of Ben Shapiro, normalise and fluff Nick Fuentes. And that is what has happened. And so we have Nick Fuentes on the Tucker Carlson show, therefore semi-mainstreamed, because Tucker Carlson can be seen as, in many respects, the purple pill right, a bit like GB News in the UK, or Unheard, or something like that, where this is basically Machiavellian power-hungry people, and they realise there is a niche for being, as it were, semi-based, and they have to balance their desire for power and influence with their desire for truth and intellectual honesty. And they realise at a certain point that it's worth going for it. And that taking the risk of having someone as controversial on that, as Nick Fuentes, on their show, will pay off. Because enough of the people in society have shifted towards no longer fearing the woke, towards no longer accepting their morality at all, towards no longer caring if they get called racist, towards just they've had enough, and a bit like fundamentalist Christians, they've opted out of mainstream society. They are in the world but not of the world. There is power behind them. They are the new Turks. They are the up-and-coming people. They are the people that have a future. they are the people that towards things towards whom power is shifting, and therefore it's worth doing it. They've noticed it, and then the line is crossed. And so the line is now crossed, and this person that is dismissed by Hope Not Hate and all of these kinds of enforcers of the regime, these neurotic types, as just the epitome of evil. That, as Ben Shapiro goes through it in his video response to this in some detail, all of this evidence that Nick Fuentes is a Nazi and hates women and all of this. And there was another guy called Vouch, and he just goes on and on and on in his response to this about how Nick Fuentes is a Nazi, he's a Nazi, he's a Nazi, this word Nazi, 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 Nazi. And people don't care anymore. And a line has been crossed. And I feel, personally, you know, I feel vindicated by this because it's exactly, it's almost word for word what I predicted in the book that we published with my colleague for the Pastors of Future Country, The Coming Conservative Demographic Revolution. We said that things are shifting genetically because among Generation Z, because when you control for intelligence, the big predictor of fertility is conservatism and religiosity, and these things are up between 60 and 70% genetic. So the left are not breeding, the left are becoming, the right and the left are becoming stupider, but the left are becoming stupider more quickly, the Rayner effect. And I said that this alone will lead eventually to the percolation upwards of Nick Fuentes types. And in addition, in our book, Woke Eugenics, How Social Justice Masks Social Darwinism, we note that what wokeness does is it discourages left-wing intelligent people from breeding. So that would, of course, predict that this would eventually occur. But also it quite deliberately and to a very extreme degree continuously excludes more and more people from the supposedly acceptable mainstream until very large numbers of people feel dysphoria, until very large numbers of people feel that their needs and desires are not met, and until so many people feel excluded that they form little sub-societies and they get together and they meet each other and they boost each other's morale, and then eventually they start to just lose their fear, and they feel that other people will look after them, and at this point they will start to rebel against the left for this reason alone and take over. This is brought about. The left have created, some I would argue quite deliberately, they've created it in order to destroy themselves and bring society back eventually to genetic health, as I look at in the book, but anyway, have created this situation, and eventually, inevitably, you see the percolation upwards of Nick Fuentes types. So this is what is happening. I have to say, on a personal level, what I find amazing, this shift towards, you know, the breakup, the breakup of society, the polarisation of society, the creating of a kind of a neo-Byzantium and right-wing enclaves, and this breakup, this split that's occurring, what I find incredible is how quickly it's occurring. Because when me and my colleague wrote The Pastors of Future Country, I honestly was thinking that I'm talking about things that will happen 20 years hence. Something like that. But they're happening now. Something is actually happening, Reg. It's happening. And I will never cease to be amazed at how quickly it's occurred. But that's what happens when shifts... Nothing happens till something does. When shifts happen, they happen very quickly. And you have these people all the time online say, oh, nothing ever happens. Nothing ever happens. Nothing will ever change. Well, this is a change. It is the essential mainstream writing, mainstream writing of Nick Fuentes. And a man that openly mocks and jokes about the left in the most extreme possible way. So this is absolutely fascinating stuff, chaps. I hope this is a bit of interest, and I will see you soon, and goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?